Sabres Live is presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Ballenstein. For Mensa scores! Zach Mensa with his first in the NHL, and it's a beauty! 4-0 Buffalo.
Now, first goal, first point, first everything here, and we talked about this guy earlier in the game and how well he's played. And now, finally be rewarded.
Game-winning goal for Zach Mensa in his first time on the score sheet, and it was amazing to see it all unfold, and it ended up being a pretty dramatic win for Buffalo last night after Mensa staked them to a 4-0 lead. It ends 5-3 with an empty netter, which are for winners with Marty and Brian.
Yes. And that's anytime goal-scoring winner for me.
Josh Dolan. I have to apologize because clearly I wasn't listening to a thing you said yesterday, because when you told me during the game that you had just hit your anytime goal score, I'm like, huh?
Like, but it was also like, who got the empty net? Because it was such a fluke type of empty net from way down.
Oh, there's no flukes. Come on.
But it was more of a chip, like I'm getting it out, more than I'm trying to score.
Top
but
10 in the NHL are the Sabres now in empty net goals. This is boding very well for
26. When you win 11 of 12 and you've gotten 5 in those, I believe 4 or 5 empty netters,
yep.
It makes a difference.
All right. So your takeaway from the victory over Vancouver, which has them winners of 11 of the last 12. They are the only team in the NHL that has 9 wins in their last 10, which is always that league statistic barometer of how things are going for other teams. That's pretty impressive when you consider the Tampa has won 8 in a row. But your biggest takeaway now as the club wraps up practice here at KeyBank and gets set for the Rangers in New York tomorrow.
So I like the bounce back. I like the way that they were up. Like, I get early in the game, Ukko-Pekka Luukkonen had a big play in, like, some of the... But it
great
was...
Great first period.
Great first period. A big, big part of their win. But the Sabres did what they had to do, I thought, especially at 5-on-5. I think 5-on-5, they were the better team. Now, in the third period, it got a little dicey, especially late. But it's not the 5-on-5 play that made things dicey. It's the penalty kill. So in a night where you get a shorthanded goal by Ryan McLeod, it was a big goal. But in the first period, you had a kill, and Vancouver got a ton of chances on that kill. They didn't score. And in the third, you have the double minor to Tage Thompson.
Yep.
They score on the first one, and they had so many looks on the second one that that's when the third period got dicey.
Mm-hmm.
Because the penalty kill, for me, was where Vancouver ended up getting a ton of chances on their power play. So I think it's interesting in a game where you say, oh, it's a big shorthanded goal. Yeah, but the overall special teams in that game was not where I would want it to be. Am I nitpicking? Obviously, it's still a win. You ended up with Tage, a big goal early on. Bo Byram has been fantastic. Tuck was great. Luukkonen was great. Mensa for his goal. A lot of good things. But I'm going to say you want to keep winning and get yourself back to in the playoff spot. Stay there. Your special teams are going to have to be a little bit better, and that's what they've been working on this morning at practice. Power play, penalty kill were two of the main things at practice today.
Emphasis should probably be on the power play more than the penalty kill, right? I mean, they only had one opportunity last night, so there's a little drought that they're
in. They gave up two unbelievable chances to Vancouver shorthanded, too.
Yes, there is that, and that was part of their undoing against Columbus, obviously.
Exactly.
So that's, that is concerning. I would agree with you on that. But they have won 5 in a row at home, which is a nice, active win streak. It's 10 wins shy of where Colorado is right now with the longest home winning streak there at 15.
Wait, let's bump the brakes on Colorado. Okay. They lost 2 in a row.
Yeah, well, the whole division is in anarchy now because Dallas has lost 6 in a row, Minnesota's lost 3 of 4, and the Avs have lost 2 straight. So anyway, more on that later.
Yes.
Also, special guest Tyler Ennis coming up on the show today. Can't wait. It is going to be an absolute blast to reconnect with number 63.
I have a lot of good,
Intel?
Stories that I've been told walking around the hallways today. So I don't know if I want to make this a serious 15-minute interview or if it should be just fun.
It will only be fun.
Okay,
I think
good.
We can just about guarantee that. And from last night...
With what Josh Norris told us yesterday, too, there was some fun.
Oh,
there.
Yeah, for sure. And so from last night, I mean, I didn't... Even when the score went from 4-0 to 4-3, I was almost unfazed by it. Like, I get it. There was still 4 minutes left, and Lindy had to call timeout. Honestly, I think my expectation was Vancouver was going to get another, and Buffalo was going to win it in overtime.
I had that thought, too.
I don't know how you feel or how other people are viewing this team now because of 11 wins in 12, but when it starts to go like that, I'm like, eh, they'll figure it out.
Just the same way when things are not going well and you're like, oh, we're going to give up a goal and lose it in overtime, right? You have that same feeling one way or the other. Now, I agree with you. I thought, okay, it's 4-3. I mean, Vancouver still has to score another goal. And Vancouver has been good on the road this year and a little bit much better of late. So I'm thinking, okay, like, they may make a big push here. And if it goes to OT, it goes to OT. And maybe you win it then, win it in a shootout, whatever. My biggest concern in the maybe last 7 minutes or 5 minutes of the game were when Lindy took the timeout, the very next faceoff. They won the faceoff. Buffalo did, but it led to a turnover and being in their zone for another minute.
I also feel this is the norm in the NHL. Like, anytime a coach tries to, like, you know, really latch onto a situation, the opposite happens as soon as you go out the next shift.
There was no more commercial break to be had by that point.
Right.
Well, there actually was two more,
yeah,
but we didn't get to them. But
so
you know, that was my concern. My concern is after the timeout and saying, okay, let's take a deep breath. Mm-hmm. Let's manage the puck. Let's play in the offensive zone because after two periods, the Sabres had 10 minutes of offensive zone possession time
to
only 7.5 for Vancouver.
That's really good when you don't have many power plays.
Exactly. Yeah. You have to have that happen. And in the third, it went the other way. But that's what happened in Vancouver earlier this month as well in December. They pushed in the third and Sabres were able to hold them off.
No empty netter that night in Vancouver. They won 3-2 with Zach Benson scoring the game winner.
Yes.
Last night it was Zach Metsa getting the game winning goal. When you looked at that play, what was, you know, what's the takeaway from it? Obviously it was the fourth line, which was a new look last night because Oslin was centering Greenway and Malenstein. So it was kind of fitting that Oslin was out there with a recent Amerk mate in Metsa for his first.
So what I was thinking on that play as I was watching the replays of it is, where did he come from?
Right.
Because he's not on the screen anywhere, and then all of a sudden he's not at the blue line. Mm. I get it's 3-0 at that point, and if you're a defenseman, you're like, oh, I'll sneak in here, and it feels a lot better. I don't know that at 4-3 he would have taken that chance to go in the slot at that moment, but that's how the Sabres have been playing. If you're watching Bo Byram, he's everywhere. Mm-hmm. You're watching Power, he was in on a couple of chances. So Metsa's like, this is how I got to play. Mm-hmm. This is how we're playing as a group of six now. But he was not on your picture at all. And then that robo cam from above the net, he comes in from the right side, slides in, gets it right through the armpit of Demko, and it's in the back of the net. I'm like, oh, his skating ability is what has been the most standout thing.
That's why he is where he is.
That's why he did what he did in college. That's why he did what he did in the American League. And now because he is a really good skater and he can knife in, knife out at any moment.
Let's get in the room after the game last night for Metsa's moment.
Great game, boys. A little bit of a finish, but still way to seal it. It will be a hell of a game, but first nationally.
The next, of course, is the Rangers tomorrow.
But before we get to the Rangers, do you think it felt like Metsa is a little bit of a wrestler type body? He's pretty strong, and he put the belt right over his shoulder, he's a Intercontinental WWE champion from back in 1987 when I was a wrestling fan.
Well, I think Alex Tuck may have latched onto that. Let's hear.
I don't know, maybe a little surprised. Not necessarily that I went in, but in that moment that I just scored. Crazy feeling. It's something you dream about since you're a little kid. It's a good group. It's a very, very special group. They've been good to me since the beginning, and it's a lot of fun playing with them, battling with them in practice, and just being around them. So for them to react that way was really special to me, something I won't forget.
Oh, Matt's awesome. I mean, obviously, what was he, 27 when he had his first NHL game? And, I mean, the guy's he's an awesome person. There's a reason why he was captain down there in Rotch and coming up. And He was. He is, right? Not mistaken on that? Okay, just making sure. Yeah, he's a great leader. He comes up here and he does his job really well. You know, it's not an easy situation, and he's been playing some really big minutes for us, and it's been great to see. And I mean, you saw it on the bench. We were all so pumped for him. He's just an awesome guy. Huge biceps, too, by the way, if anyone asks.
I didn't even know Tuck said that after the game. But as soon as I saw the clip of him, like, you know, they wear those tight Under Armour type thing underneath, and the arms are just massive. I'm like, geez. I just saw Mark Bergevin this morning for the first time, by the way.
Still a big upper body?
Not as big as he was when he was the GM of the Habs, but that's who I think of when I think of big arms and big upper body. Although, I have not really met Mark Bergevin all that often. Mm-hmm. And Duffer, as soon as I saw him upstairs, I'm like, oh, hey, welcome. And he ends his, puts his hand out, but he does the tuck in the thumb trick. So when I try to shake his hand, I grab his whole hand. I'm like.
That does not surprise me.
He's like that.
He has always been known to be that way.
So, Rangers tomorrow.
No, that's later.
That's later.
We're
okay,
focusing good. On Metsä. Obviously, he's, you know, I mean, his Amerks, because he is still captain there. Fact checking, was Alex Tuck mid answer. I love that. Amerks without Metsä, so without Jones actually, because Jones called up and he's with the Sabres. They are at Syracuse tonight. They're fourth in the North, so they've fallen a little bit here of late. But they're 4 points behind second place Syracuse. So this is a big game tonight. Hellenius between Wahlberg and Roseanne, the top line in front of Devin Levi. As that,
it's a 4 point game, but you can't catch them. But you can't get 4 points in the game, but it's a 4 point game.
But incredibly, or not surprisingly, because this is the North every year, they are now just 5 points up on sixth place Belleville. Yeah. So, like, you have to look at it both ways, and historically, in recent memory, the Amerks have always been looking up and chasing down those who have been in front. So, we'll keep a close eye on that one tonight. Obviously, what we're really focused on is the, you know, the Sabres, and now Luukkonen has excellent numbers in his career against the Rangers.
Yes.
But what you're seeing out of practice today suggests that you think Colton Ellis may get his return, and Ellis hasn't played since the first period of December 9th against the Edmonton Oilers.
It's almost been a month, right? It's been 12 games, because that game was the start of the Sabres' win streak when they won 12 in a row, lost to Columbus, win again last night. So at practice today, Colton Ellis was in what is the home starter's net. Mm-hmm. It wasn't a thing when I played. It is a thing now, apparently, in 32 NHL teams, is where is the goalies at and what's going on. Now, you're right. Like, Luukkonen has always had success against the New York Rangers. But Luukkonen has also been very, very dominant at home this year. Mm-hmm. So Lindy Ruff said a couple of days ago that Colton Ellis was going to get a start in the next couple of games here. So if you're looking at tomorrow, Rangers, and Saturday, Anaheim, well, Luukkonen has been so dominant at home that you're saying, oh, well, we'll have him for Saturday against Anaheim, and we're going to go Colton Ellis in New York against the Rangers, which that's what it looks like it's going to happen. So for Colton Ellis, I mean, he's been practicing a lot lately, recovering from the concussion, but also doing a ton of extra, so trying to get back into the good ways of, you know, winning some games and be a part of the streak, because he really wasn't, right? He was, he started that first game, but he left after a period with a upper body injury concussion on the play.
Right, and obviously the Sabres have really strung together something quite impressive, special since then. Did you know, also, what was a takeaway for me in the post game last night was Lindy Ruff's playoff point projection. Now, unprompted, when the Sabres got back to 500 at 14-14-4, I decided to sit here and tell you what I thought the Sabres need to do the rest of the way.
Yes.
They needed 63 points in their final 50 games. They have since gone 8-1. So now, the challenge, if you were trying to get to 95 points, which was my original number, you merely, and I say that in quotations, have to go 22-16-3. Doesn't seem nearly as daunting. Well, it's also plus three if you look at it with 22 wins and 19 losses.
Yes, but you need those overtime points.
But anybody right now would go, That's pretty easy to do based on what they've been able to accomplish.
Yes.
And you're 12th overall in the NHL standings. You're 11th in the NHL in points percentage. And yet, the difference, and this is why I thought it was interesting, Lindy has 96 on his mind. I had 95. I'm asking you what you think the number it's going to take for Buffalo, because we're not going to say everybody else, for Buffalo to get into a wild card, their division spot, whatever.
Well, I mean, most teams have played 41 games or roughly around 41 games now.
Yes, happy halfway point.
So if you double up what the Pittsburgh Penguins are right now at 49 points, that would give you 98. But Washington has played more than half, and they're at 50. So maybe I think I'm going to say 97 is going to be the number.
Okay.
And it's a big number. But why is it a big number? Because the East has been so, so good cross-conference against the West. You saw it again last night. Buffalo beats Vancouver. Carolina beats Dallas. Philadelphia beats Anaheim. It's been all these teams on the East side beating the West Coast teams. Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden, it's more points in the Western in the Eastern Conference. I think out West, it may take 90, 91 point because you've got the dominant three or four teams that are getting a ton of points and everybody else in the middle.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Nashville is in the conversation.
Everyone's
Calgary
is in
the conversation. St. Louis
everyone,
is everybody.
Except Vancouver and Winnipeg and maybe Chicago. But
yeah, Chicago fell off.
But Winnipeg's still dead last.
Winnipeg had another loss last night.
Incredible.
They were up 3-2.
They were up 2-0.
They were up 2-0, 3-2. They lost in overtime.
Winnipeg has lost 10 straight, 13 of 14, and has three wins in 22 games. It is, in my opinion, the greatest fall I have ever seen from a first-place team the year before.
And the year before that, the New York Rangers had won the President's Trophy, and last year they missed the playoffs, and it was disappointing. But they were not where the Winnipeg Jets are this year.
Right.
This is another level of yikes.
And we'll touch more on it, especially later in the week with Anaheim and where they're at, which is now out of a playoff spot after
they
a team that was 3 months,
Pacific.
And they were now losers of 7 in a row and 9 of 10, and they're coming in here on Saturday with plenty of work to be done before that. Congratulations. We're updating our anytime goal scorers from last night, and you and I are even. I would say low winning percentage for the two of us. I don't know what the expected wins were this year for the two of us when picking anytime goal scorers, but congratulations on Doan last night. We'll look forward to your next pick tomorrow.
You can
go first.
You have made more money than I have in your seven picks.
Mm-hmm.
I have not made bold prediction like you have. I did get on a little bit of a streak with Tage Thompson, and yesterday I went with Josh Doan. I get the anytime goal scoring win because of the empty net goal.
Mm-hmm.
My other pick, like really what I was thinking yesterday, I wanted to go Alex Tuck, and then I was like, because we talked about that line, right? The fact that Zucker was going to be with Norris and Tuck and the way they started. I think one of the things we forget about the game yesterday was the return of Jason Zucker. Because, like, early on, first period, I felt, wow,
What did you say in the pregame?
I said that line was going to get two goals.
Yeah, and they did, just not
as
line.
But I specified that.
You were on it.
That may be a power play goal with, not the line together. Mm-hmm. Well, it ended up being a shorthanded goal that Tuck was a factor in the McLeod. But I thought Zucker in the first period, right away, chance on the back door, lots of really good plays around the net, good looks for that line. And then it got a little bit stretched out.
Mm-hmm.
It's okay. It's normal. But, that was a big part of putting that roster together and having Zucker with Norris and Tuck in this game against Vancouver.
What a schedule this month. Sabres are 1-1 in the new year. And after the Rangers game on Thursday, it's 5 straight at home. Again, the Ducks are in a free fall. Over the last 10 games, this is the Saturday matchup. The Ducks have lost 9 of 10.
Mm-hmm.
How many goals do you think they've given up?
In the 10 games. They've given up 43.
50.
Oh, I was being 50 bad at 43.
50. 50.
Yeah.
This is unbelievable what has happened at 50 is the number they have given up over 10 games.
You saying 50 is like when I said 11 yesterday.
Oh, my goodness.
I kept saying 11.
Florida,
11, 11.
Philly, Montreal, Minnesota round out the 5-game homestand. And we, of course, continue
it's a busy
to gently remind you that you can build your five-game pack today. Enjoy savings on single-game pricing, priority access to playoff tickets, and the flexibility to bundle your favorite games. Visit sabres.com/5 to purchase yours today. Okay, so you've got a taste of what's going on around the NHL. Winnipeg stinks. Anaheim's in a free fall.
Dallas
has lost 6 in a row. Even, like, okay, let's
New
get in.
Jersey, yeah, yeah, maybe we'll the stinkiest of them all.
Okay, so New Jersey, yeah, I mean, I don't think there's really much. They've got 6 wins in the last 19 games. So, and that was all on the heels of the 5-1 win that they had here in Buffalo.
Now,
5-0 win they had here in Buffalo.
Yes, but problem with New Jersey quickly, they let Jacob Markstrom give up all 9 goals on 24 shots in a 9-0 loss. Mm-hmm. They didn't play the night before, and they're not playing tonight. Like, how do
didn't
you
play last
Sheldon
night
Keefe,
either, Marty?
Well, yeah, maybe that's what happened. But how do you let your goalie in, a goalie that signed an extension, by the way, for $7 million,
yeah,
in there for all 9 goals? Like,
I don't think it was $7 million.
Is it? I'm going to have to look it up now.
Regardless, Anthony Duclair had a hat trick.
That is a Patrick Waugh, Mario Tremblay moment where you're like, dude, you leave me in for all of that.
I suppose. I mean, that's the reference point
Six million.
So stop exaggerating. 9 hat tricks in the NHL in 2026. One of them from Anthony Duclair last night. It was of the natural variety. This is incredible. This is either the year of the hat tricks, the year of the penalty shot, or both. It's clearly not the year of the Ducks so far, or the Devils. But you're right. It was wild. The Islanders, of course, have been, I think, super impressive in all of this.
And, yes.
You know, they're 5-2-1 in the last 8, so they continue to find themselves in a good spot. Sorokin was really good, right, last night. Not that he had to be, but
I will say this: I saw an article on NHL.com, the French one, but it was probably everywhere. But talking about the, you know, the Jack Adams Trophy and who are the leader in the clubhouse for coaches of the year.
Yes,
and so you had Jared Bednar, Todd McClellan.
Yeah, they needed to update their files because they still had Quenneville on there.
They did, and they didn't have John Cooper.
I know.
I'm like, he would be my number one right now.
He got celebrated last night
with 1,000 games.
Yeah, that was great.
That was great. But I'm like, John Cooper probably would be number one. He's never won Coach of the Year, by the way, because everybody's always, well, Tampa's such a good team. Mm-hmm. What he's doing this year. But they did have Patrick Waugh on that list of, mm-hmm, like, candidates, right? Rick Tocchet was also on the list and what he's done with Philadelphia. So you're right. They need to update their file because Quenneville has dropped off a lot.
Okay, so we can look at a funny moment for Brandon Bussey because he ended up winning again. So, and this is amazing because the team that got this gift from Bussey on this goal is the Dallas Stars, who have now lost 6 in a row. But Bussey, while this blooper happened against him, has created his own NHL history. He's the fastest to 15 wins ever. He did it in 18 games. He's 15-2-1 despite throwing one in his own net last night.
He made a great save, though, coming out, challenging the shooter outside the crease. But he didn't know where the puck was, so he's rolling around on his back. And then everybody's kind of whacking sticks behind him. So he thought, oh, the puck must be behind me. So he rolls over to his left side, swinging his arm around to say, his glove hand, to say, where's the puck? The glove hand was sitting on the cuff of his glove.
Uh-huh.
So he basically threw it in his own net. We talked about Mark Bergevin. That's another blooper of him back in St. Louis.
Oh, yeah, you showed it recently. Yeah, that was great.
We talked about it. I actually had one of those moments happen. I was with the Flyers, and there was a puck chipped out into the neutral zone and came into our zone with Philadelphia. I skated out, mm-hmm, to beat Sidney Crosby to the puck. And I laid on top of the puck, but then I realized at that moment, Duffer, I'm going to get a penalty. That's the delay of game.
Oh, no.
So I turned around trying to throw the puck into the neutral zone. It went off my glove, and it came around like a boomerang and went the other way, and Sid put it in the empty net. So we won that game, mm-hmm, and Brendan Bussey won this game. So you can laugh about it, but in a loss, it's a lot more painful.
Indeed. There's still more to get to around the NHL. We'll try and squeeze it in where our editors are working frantically to clean up the Zegras interview. But in the meantime, we have Tyler Ennis coming up.
Did you see the hang-up celebration?
Oh, Did you hear the post-game interview?
Yes. Oh my,
yeah. So there's a lot going on there. Maybe we'll get to it. Tyler Ennis is coming up, and we want to remind you to get in on the Badges and Bravery 50-50 raffle. This is also fast approaching. It's presented by Northtown Automotive. You could win a guaranteed jackpot of $10,000, but it's the support of a great cause that is most important here. Proceeds benefit the Buffalo Police and Firefighter Arno Memorial Foundation. The drawing is February 1st. Get your tickets at sabres.com/50-50. Enzo sauce and plenty of it coming up next on Sabres Live.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Carl sliding it around behind the goal to Mazaros. Carl let it go this time. Niedermeyer is over to keep it in. To get it to Boys. That's taken out of the air, but kept in by Weber. Weber takes a shot, the rebound, they score! On the rebound, pumps into the net by Tyler Ennis. You want to be a hero? Tyler Ennis is a hero! And the Buffalo Sabres win it in overtime!
He is a hero to many in Sabres history, and he authored that overtime winner in Game 5 against Philadelphia in 2011, the last Sabres playoff win. Tyler Ennis is with us here on Sabres Live. Tyler, it is great to see you, and we still know how much that goal means to you.
Thanks for having me, guys. It's been a long time, but it's always nice to see that clip for sure, so... I've been following the Sabres a bit, and hopefully they can do that again this year.
Well, I know that if the Sabres make the playoffs this year, and look, they're battling, they're right in the middle, that goal will be replayed many, many times. So I'm sure your phone will be buzzing from people wanting to talk to you. But so tell us before we get into more hockey talk, what's going on with you? People want to know, like, what's Tyler Ennis up to? Is he, I have a full cabinet of Enzo sauce. Like, what's happening with you right now?
Yes, the cupboard's still stuck with Enzo sauce. Lots has happened. Since I stopped playing in the NHL, I went overseas and played a couple years in Europe. And I met my wife in Switzerland. And we got married in Switzerland. And so we're actually in France at the moment right now. But we had a baby this past year, my first son. And yeah, there it is. Nice. That was in Hawaii when I got engaged. So, got engaged, got married, had a baby, living in Europe at the moment. And, so it's been a busy, post-career.
Congratulations. That is so incredible to see it. I don't know whether it's because it's been so long since you were with the Sabres. It does feel like it's been a long time, mm-hmm. but you're not far removed, obviously, from your playing career and 700 NHL games and now this incredible life in Europe. I mean, you kind of, like you said, for now, like what's the long-term plan here? And is there a place in Europe you want to settle down in?
Well, yeah, I guess we're still figuring things out, but... For me, it was funny because before I went overseas, I bought a house next to Tyler Myers in Kelowna. So my plan was to be next door neighbors with Tyler Myers forever. And then I went overseas. I played in Europe, and now we're kind of trying to figure out how we're going to divide time between Canada and Switzerland. So it's a conversation we have kind of every day. So. We'll see. I guess it's going to depend on, where I decide, working is going to be, or whatever comes next my way, I guess might determine where we live more, but at the moment we're just kind of bouncing around.
How is your French, your Italian, and your German, being that Switzerland speaks all three, you're in France, so I figured you probably picked up a few things along the way.
C'est très bien.
I've
been taking French lessons. My wife's family speaks French. So I kind of have to learn the language because that's their main language. So I've been learning French. My German is not very good. Although when I played in Switzerland, I was playing in the German side, so all the guys spoke German, Swiss German, and Italian I can speak zero. But I am learning French. I take lessons a couple times a week.
We had a former teammate of yours on the show yesterday, so we want to share this little bit from Josh Norris.
Okay.
We have Tyler Ennis on the show tomorrow.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah, Enzo, you played sauce with him in Ottawa, that's right.
Yeah, Enzo's the best. I really enjoyed my time with him. Great teammate.
Did he have Enzo sauce with him? Did he carry a sauce around?
No, he didn't at the time, but he was telling me stories of back in the day when he actually had, like, the sauce.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he sold it in
here.
The stores.
I heard it was in, like, Wegmans.
Yeah.
Did you enjoy a good Halloween? Social media suggests you may have had a Halloween moment with him. Was Enzo a ghost?
Oh, yeah, we did Ghostbusters.
Ghostbusters, yeah, we're seeing it right now. Enzo was the one in the drape?
Yeah, and
he's the ghost?
He's not crouched down either. That's actually how tall he is.
Crazy.
That's
guy,
brutal.
Huh? No,
don't
I love Nori. He's the best. And I'm so happy that he's back from injury. I think he had a little injury issue. But what a great guy. What a great player. I mean, he's a great pickup for Buffalo, that's for sure. Love Nori.
He was telling us after the show that he didn't think that it was planned, that somehow, like, you saw the Ghostbusters costume and you decided to be a ghost. Like, how did that all come about?
I remember. So, you know, that was towards the end of my career. It was like whatever year it was, my 13th year or something. And we had done so many Halloween costumes, like, and I love Halloween. It's so fun dressing up. But I was like, okay, how many ideas is there out there? Like, I'm just done with it. So I was like, I'm just going to put a bed sheet over my head, cut a couple eye holes, and I'm going as a ghost. Like, I just didn't want to put any time into it. And it was kind of a hit. Like, everybody loved it. And Nori is, he's lying. I am actually crouched there. That is not my my actual head. Yeah.
No, I absolutely like that.
The one thing we have to do, because, like, not every member of our audience knows everything about your time here in Buffalo, and we've already made two references to Enzo sauce. So I want to give the audience a full taste of Enzo sauce. Here, let's listen and watch this.
Oh, God.
Ugh, this is brutes. Brutes is right. I wish I could add something to make this food taste better.
I think I have exactly what you guys need. Enzo sauce goes great with everything. Pizza, wings, burrito.
Thank you.
Chicken and rice.
Thanks, kitty.
Burrito. And salad. With every bite, you support charity. To find out more, visit enzosauce.com. Enzo sauce! What a cast we had.
What was in Enzo sauce?
What a cast is right.
What a cast is right. What was in there?
I can't tell you that. It's a secret. Oh. It's like chef sauce. Nobody knows.
Next time in Buffalo,
I'll make it for you.
Yeah, can we still buy it off the website? Is that still in good terms?
It is no longer. We are no longer making it, but maybe we can bring it back. We'll have to see. But how about what incredible acting in that commercial, though, huh?
Amazing.
Very. The way you sprinkled it on Jack's salad and you said the salad dressing, it was so good. It was spot on.
So what I'm reading into this.
I remember that too. We had it was a late night the night before, and I had told the guys, I need you to come in. We got to film an Enzo sauce commercial. And everyone was like, yeah. And then the next day it was early, and they're like, no, dude, we're not doing that. And I'm like, you have to. So everybody came into the dressing room, and we had no plan, obviously, no script, nothing. And we said, how do we get this done as fast as possible? And I think it turned out pretty well.
I do too, which leads me to the next question, because, again, you're in a moment in your life where you are literally planning and thinking about what's next. Is acting potentially in your future?
acting's kind of always been plan B, and now that I have nothing, I think it's going to be my focus now. Yeah, exactly.
Well, that tape is going to get you plenty of jobs. Don't worry about it. Just send
demo
it out
reel.
To,
I love
that
it.
Demo reel is great. Now, I was in the locker room earlier and on the bench, and I was talking to George Babcock and Bobby Maury and the whole crew. Right? They want to make sure that I said hi. They love it. But so I got a few stories, and you know, Keith Hayes was here earlier, and he was telling me about when you got your signing bonus check, and he said, okay. I think Enzo had the check underneath his pillow for like 3 months and didn't know what to do. So what is the story with your signing bonus check?
Well, I don't know if I kept it under my pillow, but there was a stretch of time where I didn't know exactly what to do, so I needed some help with depositing it, setting up my account and all that stuff. So I wasn't necessarily sleeping with it under my pillow, but there was a delay in getting it invested, we'll put it that way. But you have to say hi to all those guys because they're the best in the world. I love those guys. I miss those guys. They're awesome.
You are not wrong about that. We are blessed to be around them every day. They are a fabric of this organization.
Well, you were talking about Tyler Myers. And another story they were telling me is maybe your first trip to New York City where you guys ended up buying CDs and there was nothing on that CD. What happened there?
it's true. So me and Mizey were drafted and we were young. It's a long, long, long story. And we bumped into Glenn Anderson rollerblading in the middle of Central Park, and it was just, there's a lot of things that happened, but we drove Kevin Adams' car there because I was staying at Kevin Adams' place. He was a part of my agency at the time. This is a long time ago. He was generous enough to let us use his vehicle to drive to New York City. We take the car there. We're young. We're whatever we are, 18 years old. And we get to Central Park. It's busy. we park the car. We get out. We've probably been in New York for 4 minutes. And there's like this group of people that come up and basically ask us to like check out the CD. So I grab the CD. And then the guy's like, okay, now you owe me money. And I'm like, I don't know. And then essentially I was essentially mugged in New York City 4 minutes into my, and Mizey didn't help me at all. He's like 6'7" and he's just standing back there like, good, what's going on over there? I'm like, I'm getting robbed. So it was a tough start to New York City for two young guys that have never been there, but it was a unique first experience in the Big Apple.
Incredible. And we led in, obviously, with your playoff overtime winner here. You played 700 games. You spent time, obviously, after Buffalo with Minnesota, Toronto, Ottawa twice, and the hometown of Edmonton. Is there something, a memory that you find you share most often with people that maybe don't know everything about your career? Like, you know, what are those ones that are at the top of the list that you share?
I will say that I think what I think about a lot with Buffalo is how easy it was for me to feel at home there. You know, coming from Edmonton, you know, being a young guy, I think I moved to Buffalo essentially. I was 19 when I played my first game. I've just felt at home in Buffalo. The people were great. They were kind of, they felt like my people. You know, it was an easy city to feel a part of, to root for. It was a great place to start my career and spend the majority of my career there. I have extremely fond memories of living there. And you know, George Babcock, you guys, all the staff, I really miss and cherish those relationships. And of course, of course, the Bills. I mean, going we had season tickets 1 year, so we went to the Bills games as much as anyone. So I've been following, you know, their past few seasons. I'm a huge Josh Allen fan. I'm excited to see how it goes in Jacksonville. But yeah, I mean, I was a Buffalonian. I truly was, and I miss it, and I loved my time there.
Did you ever score on me?
I don't know. I really don't know
either. I'm like, it's I not that I remember everybody that has scored on me, well, because the list would be too long.
You guys think about that for one more second, and I want to share one more incredible goal that Tyler of the many, but another one that he scored here with Buffalo against Montreal.
The pass comes in over the line now to Ennis. Ennis trying to cut in front of the net, took the shot, rebound, he scores!
And so we are rolling the highlight film repeatedly this year because we're just a few days away from a reunion night of the 05-06 team. And, of course, everything in the history of this franchise has RJ as the soundtrack. What do you think when you see and hear that goal?
I mean, great memories. I was a lot more flexible back then. It makes me a little stiff just watching it. But, yeah, I mean, so much fun. Again, just reminds me of my great time in Buffalo. I'm excited to bring my son there whenever we get back to North America eventually, and you know, hopefully see all you guys. But that'll be a nice reunion. The 06 team, that should be fun.
Yeah, I mean, but Maxim Afanikyanov is coming back, and there's like guys that haven't been back in a long time. So you have to come visit for sure whenever you get some time in the future. People here in Buffalo would absolutely love it.
I will, for sure. And I got a question for you guys. Since I've been away, I see the boys went on quite a run. How are we feeling? Is it optimistic in Buff? Like, what's the vibe right now?
Absolutely. Everywhere you turn right now, people are talking about the Sabres again. It's a great feeling. They've now won 11 of 12.
Yeah, and a big part of that is your former teammate Josh Norris. And so, like, when he came back, it changed the direction of the way that, you know, it is. Your lines all fit better. Everything kind of rolls better. So he's been great. But, yes, I'm with Duffer. I've been an optimist for a while, and I really look at this team right now doing something special.
Tyler, we have to fly. I will tell you quickly, I ran into a guy named Tim Dion. He's the guitarist for Winter Sleep. I was at a festival a couple of years ago, and within 5 minutes of meeting him, we were talking about you. It was the most surreal concert experience I've ever been to. Enzo, congratulations on everything, life and career. We can't wait to talk to you soon. All the best, our friend.
Thanks for having me, guys. Appreciate it. Great to see you, and say hi to everyone back in Buff.
Tyler Ennis, as we roll on here on Sabres Live. We're back after this.
We're back with more of Sabres Live, presented by Seneca Resorts and Casinos. Nothing else comes close.
Important cause, Sabres are hosting Mental Health Awareness Night on Wednesday, January 14th. The flyers are in. There will be educational resources and touch points throughout the night. Visit sabres.com/tickets to purchase yours today. Flyers were big highlight makers last night as Trevor Zegras had a night against his former team. What'd you make of his reactions?
Well, his celebration after the goal reminded me a little bit of Miro Chetan one year when he did the "Hey Darcy" on the phone. But it was a different situation, obviously, for Trevor Zegras.
Let's hear his post-game interview, which is also legendary.
And a team that, you know, might have given up on you, Trevor, and you come in here, you pot two in that first period. How good did that feel?
Amazing. Amazing. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Awesome, buddy. And I got to ask you about the celebration on the first one. You hung up the phone. Who was it to, and what's that all about?
I don't know. But that's about how quick the phone call was before, so I thought it'd be good.
That's great.
So, yeah, he said that the Ducks basically hung up that quick after they traded him. Like, you're gone.
You're being traded to the Flyers. See you later. Not even like we'll ship you your gear or anything like that.
Unbelievable. Yes. And
But I love that he's not a robot. Zane Parekh.
He's not a robot, and the Flyers have been pretty darn good this year. There's no question about that, and Zegras has been a huge reason why. Sabres in New York to take on the Rangers tomorrow. Can't wait to see you then for Sabres Live.